Welcome, Equestrians. This is Scott Miller for the International Equine Network at 10:30 a.m. on BBS Radio and TV.com, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. We do this every Thursday. Next week, we're going to be live with video next Thursday. You'll be able to see my who I am, what I look like. Oh, guys, there's all kinds of things that I want to talk to you about today, and basically we're just going to kind of talk about the mission statement for International Equine Network. What we do here is we try to touch on every area of the horse industry, domestic and international, primarily thoroughbreds, but we will have other things like polo and Quest for Equine Gold, which is all about show horses, and Last Call, which is our sale program about equine sales, thoroughbred mainly. It's going to be an interesting programming. We have everything for everybody. We do all breeds. We do all disciplines. And we do all countries. And that's what makes us unique. We're just not, you know, focused on one thing and one thing only. We just try to get behind the scenes and talk to people and see why they're doing what they're doing and how they're doing it and their success rate that they have and their failure rate and, you know, just what it's all about. We're going to talk about feed. We're going to talk about horse transportation. We're going to talk about blacksmiths, veterinarian care, going to the sales to buy horses. You name it, we're going to get into the history of the horse business. Like I said, primarily we're working on, you know, thoroughbreds, you know, to begin with. Eventually, you know, we'll have other segments, but our main focus is going to be on thoroughbreds. As a matter of fact, we got the Breeders' Cup coming up here October 31st and November 1st, 2025 here. It's at Del Mar Racetrack in California. We're 64 days, 26 minutes, and 5 seconds away from the Breeders' Cup. And we're going to be bringing things like that to you on our website that constantly reminds you of what's coming up. You'll be able to see all the Breeders' Cup doings on msmequine.com. That's our website. And you'll be able to see the things that we do on BBS Radio and TV. Like I said, we'll have video starting next week. And that's going to be exciting for me, and I hope it's exciting for you guys. But what we do is we kind of cut to the chase. We find out why people are doing what they're doing. We got a program that's going to be coming up. It's called How They Get There, the 2026 Kentucky Derby. And we're going to have How They Get There, the 2026 Kentucky Rolex, which is a three-day event for show horses. You know, that type of thing. And then we got all kinds of things, interviews with owners and trainers and jockeys and, you know, grooms and just about any and everybody that's in the business. So we're going to go through one whole program and show you exactly how horses are transported. I did this for a long time on the ground and in the air and actually on ships. We actually had to barge some horses over from Hong Kong over to Macau. And it's kind of interesting, you know, when you get out on the, you know, the open water on the Red China Sea, and you got horses in containers, and you got waves splashing up on the containers, and they handled it pretty good, but you'll see what that's like. Then we have transportation. We'll jump on board with Brookledge and see how they get all these champions to the different tracks. You know, that type of thing. We're going to get into an interview with some feed companies to, you know, to see, you know, how they make feed. Just the things like that, you know, that people don't see every day. Mostly the only thing you see in the horse business is who won the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness to Belmont, the Breeders' Cup, who won the three-day Rolex, you know. That's you just hear it, and it's brief, you know. But we're going to go behind the scenes and tell you how they get there. and see some of the up and coming stars and see some of the old stars that are still, you know, going along. So that's what we're going to do here on the International Equine Network. It's amazing. People tend to forget that the horse worldwide used to be a, you know, a mainstay of everybody's economy. They were working the fields, they were racing, they were doing shows. People that were involved in the horse business, you're looking at blacksmiths, you're looking at feed companies, you're looking at transportation. And you don't think about it, but you're looking at the people at Walmart, the people at Burger King, the people at the local hospitals, gas stations, grocery stores. They're all part of the horse industry. They're not hands-on, but at least they're, you know, providing services to the people of the horse industry. And it's amazing and phenomenal how many people you see, you know, out in your community that's part of the horse community, you know, day in and day out. And so that's a lot of things that we're getting, you know, going to get into. And now, you know, I'm going to talk a little bit about the economics. Next week, I'll go into more detail on the local economics, the impact that they have on local areas. But I'm going to try to sum it all up here and let you know why the horse business is getting better and better and better. For example, 10 years ago at Kentucky Downs in Kentucky, they were up and coming. They were coming up. Back in the 90s, it was just a dream that a group of people in the state of Kentucky had to build a racetrack. And they got to thinking about, you know, where could they fit into the niche of the racetracks? Because in Kentucky, you've got Ellis Park, you've got Turfway, you got Keeneland, and you got Churchill Downs. And that's all in there, and they've established for many, many years, you know, of racing. So Kentucky was trying to figure out what could they do to draw, you know, people to the horse business. Well, in Kentucky, they built a track on the Kentucky-Tennessee border close to Nashville, and they call it Kentucky Downs. And it's all grass. It's all turf races. And they built it, it's like on a hill. And it's like European racing. It's up and down. It's got the long stretch, the long gallops, up and down hills. So everybody said, no, that won't go. Well, long story short, yes, sir, it did go. Had a lot of trainers that come in that had strictly grass-only horses, and that's what they trained for. And they offered some pretty good purses, you know, starting out, and they meet one time a year. And, it works. And now they meet two times a year, one in the fall and one in the spring. And it's just right about Derby time, because you've got a lot of good horses that are in the state that are grass horses, and it gives them something to, you know, run for. And most of our tracks, you know, they've got a limited amount of racing on the grass. And they're pretty good races, you know, it really tests your horse and everything. So, you know, they started working this program in Kentucky Downs into the training schedules of a lot of trainers. And that's the point right now that the horse industry is in. You've got to do something at all the racetracks. I don't care where you're at, whether it's Ellis Park or Pimlico or, you know, Laurel Park. You've got to write condition books to get the good horses in there. That's what draws the people. So now all the tracks are starting to do that. They're starting to cater to the trainers and the owners and saying what they could do to, you know, get them to Laurel or Ellis Park or what have you. And it's working. It's working. The more money you offer, the better trainers and the better horses you get. And so now, you know, that thing is really snowballing. In California, it's doing really good. In Kentucky, it's doing good. New Orleans, it's doing good. Arkansas, Florida, it's doing good, which that's a whole other story in Florida. We might be losing Gulfstream here in the next couple of years because of the decoupling that they have. And the lady that owns Gulfstream wants to build condos and businesses around and get rid of Gulfstream. So that's a whole different ballgame. We'll be talking about that down the road, too. But what they started doing, and I use Kentucky Downs as an example, that all the other tracks are starting to follow. They're starting to say, hey, wait a minute, they got a pretty good program there, and we apply this riding good races for all the horses on the grass and on the dirt. But like I said, at Kentucky Downs here, they started a few years ago, and I was proud to be a part of that, racing down there back in the 90s. It was really good. And what's interesting is Kentucky Downs is on the interstate, and you can pull off to the rest area there at the interstate by Kentucky Downs, and you can set up there in the parking lot and actually see them racing, which is kind of interesting, you know, to see. But the track there, it's configured to be like European style, up and down the hills, a lot of curves in it, you know, short stretch, long stretch, they have all of it. But the people at Churchill Downs in Kentucky, state of Kentucky, when they started saying, what are we going to do to get these people here? So now this Saturday is probably the most solid concrete example I could give you of how success is made. And it, let me tell you, it is great, really successful in Kentucky Downs. Okay, on Saturday's program, the 30th, it's a 12-card race. And, you know, that's a lot of horses there. It's going to be some good races. We have what we call a maiden special weight, which is for horses that have never won. And like I said, it's all on the turf. The purse is $170,000, which is probably twice as what it is at any other track in the country. Nobody tops that. They have a 13-horse field. Got another maiden special weight, $170,000, going a mile, 13-horse field. Now we have an allowance optional claiming. You can put the horse in for a claiming tag, and that's your option, but you don't have to put him in for a tag, $200,000, going 6.5 furlongs on the turf. Then they have $190,000 allowance rates going 6 furlongs on the turf. We got $170,000 maiden special weight on the turf, 6 furlongs. $170,000 maiden special weight again, 6 furlongs. Then we get out and start climbing the ladder. Now we go to $1 million Mountain Dew Bowling Green Gold Cup Invitational. And when I say invitational, that means they select horses from across the country and throughout the world to come into this invitational to race, which is a big deal, because if you're getting selected to run in an invitational, then that's telling the people and the owners and everybody in the business that that horse is a good horse. That's $1 million going a mile and a 16th or 2 miles and a 16th on the turf, 8-horse field. So you see, you get these different distances on the grass, and it gets them there, and they go from sprinting all the way up to, you know, good distance. That's the Mountain Dew Bowling Green Gold Cup Invitational. Then the next race is the Never Say Die Ladies Turf Sprint, which is $2 million. That's 6.5 furlongs, 12-horse field. Then we go to the $2 million Mint Kentucky Turf Sprint, 6 furlongs, 15 horses in the field, 15 horses. Then we go to the $3,500,000 Nashville Derby Invitational, 14-horse field, a mile and 5/16, which is unheard of here in the States. This is European, you know, racing at its best, and it's drawing horses from all over the world to get in that. You know, you're looking at, you know, a large field that's going to be good. Then you go to the Resolute Ladies Turf, mile on the turf, 11-horse field, $2 million. Then you go to the last race on the card, $175,000, 6 furlongs, maiden special weight. So you're looking at a lot of races there, and Kentucky Downs this week. You know, you're looking at, with all the races in their race meet for the spring here, or for the fall here, you're looking at $37.5 million. That's just unheard of here in the United States, $37.5 million. That's why they're drawing people from all over the world here to race in Kentucky. And it makes it nice. And one of the horses that's going to be racing there this week, it's kind of a unique individual. This horse started on the Kentucky Derby Trail. They thought they had a good horse, and which they did. They had a real good horse. They started him out at Saratoga July 19th of 2024, maiden special weight. Good horse, ran second in it. And so now, you know, they said, well, we do have a good horse. And this was on the dirt. Then he runs again. He runs back again at Saratoga 10 days later in a race called With Anticipation Stakes. It's a grade three. He ran fifth. Then he came back to Keeneland. He left Saratoga in October and came to Keeneland, and he broke his maiden going a mile. So now, you know, they're starting to realize that they've got something on their hands. How do we manage this horse? Do we start looking for the Derby? How do we get him on the road to the Derby? And if he is on the road to the Derby, how's he going to fare against a lot of these stake horses that are, you know, prepping along for the Derby like he's doing? So they're sitting there, and he wins that. Then he runs in at Del Mar on November 1st. This is Breeders' Cup weekend. Now, see, they're trying to make a name for this horse and show that he can run. Now, this is a 3-year-old horse. This is a 3-year-old, and you know they're now decided. Well, it doesn't look like we're going to be good enough for the Derby. You know, but we've got a good horse. Let's make his resume good. You know, let's do the best we can. Okay, so now they're at Del Mar for the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance Stakes. It's a black type race on November 1st, 2024, and he runs second. So now he's staying consistent. He's staying 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 3. He's staying right in there. So now, you know, you're thinking, well, what the heck here? Said, let's get him down to Gulfstream. And they did this on February 1st. And they said, well, you know, maybe we do have a shot at going to the Derby with him. You know, let's run him one time and see what happens and then kind of make the decision from there. Okay, so they run into Kitten's Joy. It's a listed stakes race. He runs third. Pretty doggone good. A good group of horses there. Good group. Then they said, well, you know, we'll wait a month or two, and then we'll go to Keeneland, and we'll run him in the Transylvania Stakes at Keeneland. It's a selected grade three stakes race. Now, a lot of horses have run in that stakes race and gone on to, you know, run in the Derby. So it's kind of interesting what they're thinking about with this horse. They're thinking all grass now, keep it on the grass. He wins the Transylvania Stakes 4-7 of 2025, graded three race. Then they said, now where do we go with it? You know, we're not going to go to Churchill for the Derby, but we are going to go to Churchill. And the American Turf Stakes presented by Ford, which is a grade one, and he runs second in this race. So now, you know, it's amazing what they're doing with him. And it just goes to show you, you know, heck, everybody would like to go to the Derby, running a Derby. You know, take a shot in it. But these people are thinking, we're thinking about breeding rights. That's what we're thinking about. We've got a resume on him that the grass is where he's at. And he can run on the dirt, but the grass is where it's going to be. You know, because now all of a sudden, you know, you're sitting here looking at it and said, gee whiz, you know, this horse is just 3-year-old. You know, he gets in there and he runs a grade one American turf, you know, at Churchill Downs. So now he's somebody. He's somebody to be reckoned with, you know, and we're sitting here looking at this horse. He's run five starts. He's got two wins, a second, and two-thirds, and earn $1,040,000. Well, let me tell you, that is something else. That is something else. He's went at Keeneland. He's went at Saratoga. You know, he's went at Churchill. And this horse is really rocking and rolling. You know, he's going on to do better things. And so now that he's done that, they're looking at going right back on up to the ladder to the Breeders' Cup. You know, and by the way, he's running Saturday, up here at Kentucky Downs. He's a good horse. He's a good horse. Everybody's overlooking him. You know, and I think he's going to be the horse to win this race. His name is Test Score, TESTSCORE. He's foaled in Kentucky on April 27th. The sire is Looking at Lucky, and the dam is Joy of Learning by Kitten's Joy. Graham Motion is the trainer, and Manny Franco is the jockey. And this horse is going off as a favorite on Saturday. He's going off as a favorite. And there are 14 horses in there with him. But it just goes to show you how when you get your you start doing your resume for where you're going and what you're going to do, you never can tell. I was glad to see these people that own this horse bypass the Derby. You know, everybody wants to go to the Derby, but let me tell you something. You know, if you just hold off a little bit, and let your horse tell you what he wants to do, then you're pretty good shape. You're in pretty good shape, and that's what they did with this horse. They've held off on him. You know, he's solid, he's sound, and now the second stage of his building his resume is how long will he race? He's a 3-year-old and made over $1 million. You know, if he wins the $3.5 million race at Kentucky Downs, it would be awful, awful easy to just sit back and say, he's going to the breeding shed. You know, we're going to retire him and let him go. Or if he's solid like he seems to be, and he's going to be able to, you know, race 3 or 4 or 5 races a year, might do next year again the same route that they're going on now. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens to Test Score on Saturday. You can watch the race live on MSMEquine.com, and you can see how he does and everything. But see, the whole point that I'm getting to here is you've got to manage your horses. And like right now, September 1st is here, and we start counting down for the Kentucky Derby 2026. And the 15th, I believe it is, of September, we have coming into the Iroquois Stakes. That's the first points getter for the Kentucky Derby. That's the first points getter. And then everything from there, those 10 or 12 horses that run there, most of them won't even go to the Derby. Maybe one or two might come out. You might see some superstar come out. But you don't know. They're still young. You know, they're still, 2-year-olds. Then the next race after that is the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. You win that, and you got almost enough points to go to the Derby. So now every weekend they're starting to eliminate horses. You're going to see a bunch of horses that are late bloomers. They're going to come up, and they're going to jump in that Derby field pretty quick, and then they'll die off like it had a lot last year do. And the thing now is management. Like they did with Test Score. Sure, they were thinking Derby when it all started, but then they realized they got a grass horse, they got a horse that's going to make money, it's already a graded stakes winner, and it's on right now, as he stands right now, he would demand a good dollar at the breeding shed. But if he wins Saturday, then, he can go on to the Breeders' Cup. If he wins, anything in the Breeders' Cup, then you can go, do whatever you want with him. And, maybe do a next year of racing or maybe just retire him. But that's going to be the interesting thing about Test Score on Saturday. in there, but it's all about management of horses. You don't want to get too eager and ready to go, you know, but that's the doggone tough part about it. You get out there and you got a horse that's working good, racing good, and all of a sudden you get that Derby fever. And it's so doggone early to get the Derby fever, you know, that it's bad. You know, it's bad for you because sometimes that kind of clouds your ability to make good decisions. You know, you start getting Derby fever, and you say, well, you know, we'll try here, we'll try this next. And you get so wound up that, you know, you might not be doing the best thing in the world for your horse. And all, but all these tracks are doing, like we were talking about the Kentucky Downs, every track has a big race. The Pacific Coast Classic's coming up out west in Del Mar. You know, that's a big, big race. You know, they got a winter schedule for your horses out there that really looks good on a resume for the breeding shed. And if you do good and everything, there are races that you can come back and race out east, you know, in New York and Keeneland and Gulfstream and Churchill, Hot Springs, New Orleans. You know, there's all kinds of races that are out there that you can build a good resume. So that's the main thing now with all these guys that are getting, you know, ready for all these races coming up this summer or this winter and this spring. And you got to think about building a resume like they did with Test Score and everything. So, but what we're going to do here on International Equine Network next week, we're going to talk about people that help us get to where we're going in the business. We're going to be talking about John Deere. We're going to be talking about Walmart. We're going to be talking about consumer cellular. We're going to be talking about a lot of things that you need in your basket to get you to the races, you know, that makes your life a little easier. Camping World. The Camping World segment is going to be really good. And how trainers, you know, go on the road and they literally can take their office and their home on the road. You know, so we're going to be talking things like that. And then we'll have the results of Saturday's racing. And we'll have, you know, the entries for the next Breeders' Cup when and you're in. And it ought to be pretty good and everything. And like I said, it's going to be video, you know. And my biggest thing now, I got to get me an entourage. I'm getting big in the game. But not having a lot of viewers and not having a lot of listeners makes it easy on me because nobody's there to criticize me. So we'll look forward to talking with you and seeing you next week on International Equine Network on BBS Radio and TV.